Good evening, good evening, good evening. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors here at Langley Vineyard, and you're so welcome. You could be anywhere in the world right now, but you're here with us in this beautiful building, and so you're so, so welcome. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. Buddy the Elf was not telling fibs. At least I thought that was funny, that's okay. There are a few things on the run-up to Christmas that get us into the festive spirit, seems to kickstart us into the festive spirit. Maybe for you, it was on the 1st of October when Cool FM played their first Christmas song of the year, Too Soon. Maybe it's the hustle and bustle of Christmas shopping, the delivery of Christmas cards coming through the mail, getting the tree up, or even pulling out that questionable Christmas jumper. Or maybe it's finally getting your favorite Christmas album on repeat. If it's not Justin Bieber, you are doing it wrong. But for me, the thing that always kickstarted me into the Christmas spirit was the carol service. And if I'm honest, it wasn't because I overly enjoyed it as a child, but it usually happened the Sunday before Christmas. So I knew that soon presents were coming to a tree near me. That Ronaldo 7 jersey was days away from being on my back. And as you get closer to Christmas Day, the question beckons, what is the method to all this madness? What is the why behind all of these mince pies? What is all this cheer about this time of year? What is the true reason for this season? Because if we glance, we can miss it. And in a commercialized culture, it's never been easier to miss it. But like the shepherds that night in the field, we have something to behold tonight. Behold. The word commands us to stop and to see truly. The word behold is to gaze deeply, to understand, to allow yourself to be transformed by what your eyes are set upon. And throughout the narrative of Scripture, behold is a word that's used as an urgent call. It almost jumps out of the text to grab us by the scruff to tell us to pay attention. Don't miss this. It signals something important, something so altering that all of our attention must be arrested. And the Christmas story, the story of Advent, compels us to behold. Not merely reflect or reminisce, but to behold. The promises of the prophets spoke hope into the darkness, but they were incomplete until the presence of that hope arrived. Advent is not a historical tale, but is the unfolding of God's ultimate movement towards us. Reflecting on the Advent story cannot satisfy our souls, cannot stabilize the ever-turning tide of our lives. We need to behold the reality of Advent, a God who moves towards us, a God who moves towards you. Maybe we're more like the shepherds than we realize. We think tonight will be like every other night, another night in the field, another carol service, another year into Christmas, another year of hustle and bustle. But tonight, we're invited to look again. And so we do. Because the context of the nativity story is anything but picturesque. A corrupt ruler declares a census, exploiting the most vulnerable for political and economical gain. Mary, a young girl, travels by donkey, full term in her pregnancy with no place to stay. This is a scene of weakness, of poverty, and of helplessness. Yet this very backdrop of brokenness is where we discover the fullness of God as it enters into our world. God's promises, but this time with skin and bone on, with lips, hips, and fingertips. I couldn't help myself. God's arrival isn't announced or heralded in palaces or temples, but the shepherds in a field, the outcasts of society. You see, shepherds were not landowners. They didn't own the sheep that they were looking after. They were illiterate and often homeless, likely sleeping in the fields in which they worked. These men were considered so unclean and so unworthy, they would have been excluded of entering into temples. Their reputations were so tarnished, they were compared to thieves. Yet the first proclamation of Christ's birth was given to them, and this is no accident. You see, in choosing shepherds, God was declaring that this gospel, the good news, is for the lowly, the forgotten, the downtrodden, and the rejected. The kingdom of God turns our expectations upside down, that those who are excluded from society are the first to be included in his story. Don't be afraid. The only command we discover in the whole of nativity narrative. The history of humanity had been haunted by fear ever since Adam and Eve hid in the garden, and we discover that now fear is driven out, not by a change of circumstance, but by the presence of God himself in that very circumstance. Perfect love, which casts out all fear. Emmanuel, God with them. The angels announce, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Savior, Christ, Lord. You see, the angels knew the first thing we humans ask when a child is born: what is their name? And names are important, and we get three here: Savior, Christ, and Lord. Savior, the one who will deliver us from our sin, the bondage that enslaves us, and the fear that paralyzes us. Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, has arrived, not as a warrior to overthrow the Romans, not as a political leader to restore Israel's glory, but as a baby, vulnerable and helpless. What kind of Christ is this? A Christ who ushers in a kingdom unlike any the world has ever seen. His kingdom is not built on power, but on peace, not on conquest, but on compassion. Christ confronts injustice, not with a sword, but with self-sacrifice. He doesn't just bring peace, but he himself is peace. And through this Messiah, God's promises find their yes and amen. He is the fulfillment of every longing and the embodiment of every hope. And the angels, they call him Lord. And the weight of this word is undeniable. You see, Caesar was called Lord. Herod was called Lord. Lords were rulers, powerful figures with people who demanded allegiance through fear. But this child, his lordship was different. He is a king, but his crown would be woven with thorns. His reign isn't marked by fear, but restoration. What kind of king leaves the perfection of heaven to dwell among the imperfect? What kind of ruler trades glory for humility, power for vulnerability? This is the paradox of his lordship. He is the king, but he is the one who washes our feet. The ruler who serves and the sovereign one who sacrificed himself for his people. And his reign, it is not temporary or conditional. His reign is eternal, unshakable, and unending. And this kingdom is a place where justice flows like a river, where every tear is wiped away and where death itself is defeated. To call this baby Lord was not just a statement of faith. It was an act of allegiance. Behold, Savior, Christ, Lord. The baby born in Bethlehem was the antidote to all fear and oppression. And when the shepherds seen him, they knew. And their response was simple but profound. They went and beheld. They didn't glance at a baby in an eating trough. They beheld royalty wrapped in rags, and it brought them to their knees in worship. This story isn't sanitized and sentimental. It is raw and it is real. A story of God stepping into the mess of humanity to bring redemption. And this story is good news for us, because the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. In Jesus, the promises of God take on skin and bone. He bears our burdens and walks with us. And the significance of this story is why we gather. It's why we sing. It's why we celebrate. Because this is not just history. This is his story breaking into our now. You see, if you glance, you can miss it, because the story tells us clearly that often the supernatural comes to us packaged in the natural. This Christmas, don't glance. Behold. Look beyond the cozy carol service and all the festivities to see the profound truth of God's love that moves towards you no matter the mess. A God that is so powerful and yet so personal. Religions all around the world present the ideology that we need to go to sacred, holy places to encounter God. We think that we need to position ourselves so that we can find God. But in this story, we discover a God who places himself into the story to find us. The angels didn't show up in a temple or in a palace. They showed up in a field to shepherds. They thought it would just be like every other night. And you may think that this Christmas will be like every other Christmas. Joy and disappointment and a mixture of all those things. But look again. Behold the one who is the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. This is not a charming story or a sentimental tradition. It's the unveiling of a Savior who rescues, a Christ who fulfills promises, and the Lord who reigns. And in the stillness of that first night, of Christmas. Heaven broke into earth. Creator became creation, and hardly anybody noticed, because it's easy to miss. But the cries of that newborn shattered centuries of silence, and the message was clear. Behold. Behold the Savior who sets us free. Behold the Christ who fulfills every promise. Behold the Lord who reigns forevermore. This Christmas, let us not merely glance at a manger. Let us look deeply and be transformed by the wonder of who he is. See, what you came from this evening, you will also return to. But look again. Behold, God is with you. He is with you in your grief, and he is with you in your joy. He is with you in your disappointment, and he is with you in your wonder. He is with you in your wandering, and he is with you in your laughter. He is with you in your tears, and he utters the same words that were spoken all those years ago. Do not be afraid, because wherever your feet take you next, Emmanuel is with you. He is with you. He is God who is for you. Behold, this is the true reason for the season. But perhaps the greatest Christmas miracle of all is that his reason was you. If you're able, will you stand? We can't just reminisce on a story. We need the reality of the story in our lives. And like the manger that night when Christ was born, we don't have to have things neat and tidy. We don't have to have things all sorted out. All we have to do is to make room for the God who moves towards us, and he moves towards you. So I'm going to pray for us in a minute. But if you would like to make room for the God who is running towards you tonight, I'm going to ask you simply to place your hand over your heart. Nothing special happens when we do that. It's a way to symbolize externally what's happening internally. And I want to pray for each of you tonight that the God of heaven would make himself at home in your midst, wherever you find yourself, whatever the circumstance, whatever the situation. And so come, Holy Spirit. We welcome you. Come, unexpected Jesus. God, I pray for my friends that you would right now invade their hearts, invade their lives, and invade their homes. God, we make room for you, the risen and forever reigning King Jesus. God, to behold you is to adore you. So God, in our hearts, we make room. In our homes, we make room. We welcome you, King Jesus. We welcome you, King Jesus. We pray this in your name. Amen.